South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa has been invited to the G7 summit that is taking place in Cornwall in southwest of England, hosted by the Prime Minister Boris Johnson. And of course, the President will be travelling there to attend that summit, having been invited as guests alongside Australia, India and South Korea. The summit, he says, will discuss how to promote future prosperity through free and fair trade, championing shared values and tackling climate change. But the global recovery from COVID-19 is likely to dominate that agenda. In a moment, I'll be speaking to The Economist at Stanlib, Dinduho Nechitenzi, rather. President Joe Biden telling a hangover of U.S. troops yesterday he was in Europe to defend the very concept of democracy, setting very high stakes for his first presidential trip abroad, warning Russian President Vladimir Putin that he planned to raise touchy issues during the upcoming summit. He spoke forcefully about restoring American alliances in Europe, describing them as a cornerstone of global security, and he said he wouldn't hold back in his meeting with Putin. Before he meets the Russian counterpart in Geneva next week, the president is holding consultations with European leaders at the G7 in Cornwall, as well as the NATO summit in Brussels. He laid out a lofty goal for this trip abroad, suggesting that no less than democracy itself was at stake as he works to convince world leaders that after 4 years of President Donald Trump, the United States' commitment to transatlantic ties is back for good. Economist at Stanlib, Ndiduho Nechitenzi, joins me on the line now. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Africa. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Now, given that context, where it is President Joe Biden's very first trip abroad, it is, I suppose, a meeting that is happening amidst the world's response to the pandemic of COVID-19. This is a couple of months ahead of COP26, 28, whatever it is, that the UK is going to be hosting. What value can South Africa get from being an invited guest to this meeting?
Well, I think for South Africa and actually for Africa in general, there are actually, I think, maybe three things that South Africa can gain from attending the meeting and from being invited from it. Firstly, I think it's a chance for us to advocate for a more equitable distribution of COVID vaccines towards more of your developing countries. And we've seen your rich countries sort of hoard these vaccines. There's a chance for us to try and advocate for it to be distributed towards Africa and other developing countries. Secondly, I think the president can use this platform as an opportunity to sell South Africa as an investment destination and attract some much-needed foreign direct investment to boost South Africa's long-term economic development goals, I guess. And I think lastly, South Africa has a chance to contribute to global issues and policies. So things like, for example, what we can do about climate change and how this is affecting South Africa and Africa in general, and how we need more free trade and more trade agreements between the regions in the world to help Africa develop in that sense. So I think those are the three main issues.
Let's take each in turn, and we'll start with your second point, selling South Africa as an investment destination. Yesterday, ahead of stage two and then stage four of load shedding from Eskom, we reflected and celebrated, really, that the business confidence in this country was the highest it's been in 3 years. And then, boom, lights were off. How does he sell South Africa as an investment destination, given the challenges we have with the security of supply of electricity?
I mean, it will be very difficult for the president to effectively sell South Africa as an investment destination, like you said, given the electricity issues and the ongoing corruption scandals that have been going on in South Africa and the lack of actual reform that have been promised for the last couple of years. And I think he really has his work cut out for him in trying to show how South Africa has changed in terms of corruption, fiscal consolidation, and policy implementation. But I guess this is a very good platform to do it on, where you show the small gains that the country has made. So in terms of corruption, while it has been very slow and very cumbersome, there are some changes that have taken place and some action that has been made. And even with Eskom, and sort of the electricity supply issues, there are still deep, deep problems within that, I guess, that sector. But we are seeing that the government is open to changing policy and to changing regulations so that more of your private sector is involved and your IPPs get involved in being able to supply South Africa with electricity. So it's a long road ahead, but I think that president is trying to show the small gains that have been made to try and attract FDI.
One has to acknowledge that he'll probably receive a sympathetic ear. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, was in this country literally a week or two ago. And we know how important France, well, at least South Africa is to France's renewal, if you like, within the African continent. We have very strong and very long relations with the United Kingdom. The report from 10 Downing Street earlier this week was that there was a telephone call between Boris Johnson and Cyril Ramaphosa ahead of what would be their own separate meeting, if you like, on the side. The remaining members of the G7, South Africa has some good relations with them, yeah?
I mean, generally, yes. With Germany, I think there's also still good relations going on there. With the US, there have been, I think, some talks between President Biden and President Ramaphosa, but I think it's mostly going to happen behind closed doors where we see some interaction, some communication going on. So there is good relationship, and I think it's definitely become better with the new administration, and we'll see how those develop over the coming few days, I guess.
The United States recently, of course, making an announcement that it will be making available excess stocks of vaccines to certainly developing nations. The Biden administration reaching an agreement, it's reported yesterday, with the United States vaccine makers to provide 500 million dosages of COVID-19 to 100 countries over the next year. As we said, COVID-19 is going to be a big issue. We know that both South Africa and India are looking for a waiver on intellectual property around vaccines. The World Bank president, which is located in Washington, coming out and saying, we don't support this move because it's going to go against innovation and research development in the sector. How do you think the topic of COVID-19 is going to unfold at this G7 summit?
I think it will be a fine line between sort of trying to protect intellectual property to encourage research and development and sort of encourage companies to try and be innovative in that region. But also, we must understand that this is a global pandemic that requires unprecedented response. So while we need, like if you ask me why we actually need a wave of intellectual properties to allow South Africa and even India to develop these vaccines so that they can not only produce it for our citizens, but for maybe Africa as a whole and developing countries, is because it will go a long way in helping eliminate COVID globally. And what I mean by that is that the longer it takes for the vaccine or to vaccinate the global population, the more time the virus has to mutate to a version that is more resistant to the vaccine. And that would result in a resurgence of the virus around the world and could put us back into square one in our fight against COVID. So it's really to the benefit of the whole population, the whole world population, to try and encourage a more equitable distribution of vaccines away from rich countries and towards your more developing countries that really need the vaccines to really effectively roll out the vaccination process around the world. So I think there's going to be some serious talks around that and trying to sort of explain that to your rich countries, I guess, the G7.
We've covered selling South Africa as an investment destination. We've just talked about COVID-19. The third aspect that you think South Africa can have an impact on in this G7 summit meeting is the contribution to global policies, one of which, of course, is around climate change and the reduction of carbon emissions. Eskom is a major polluter, if you like, of the environment, given the amount of coal that we are trying to burn when there is electricity. The Business Day reporting this morning that the Presidential Climate Commission is to recommend that South Africa adopt a more ambitious emissions reduction target that the government has proposed, which would entail changes to the country's energy plan and a quicker phasing out of the coal-fired power station. That's going to be a big deal if it's realized, yeah?
It really is, because Eskom has not been able to even meet any of its, carbon emission targets these past couple of years. So going for something that's more ambitious is going to be a very difficult task and a very asking task for Eskom, especially given that it's got additional problems around old power stations and failing power stations and they need to be, I guess, put offline to be fixed and all that. So I think it's a nice, I guess, gesture and a nice sort of way for the president to show that South Africa is involved in trying to ensure that climate change is, I guess, combated. But I think it's going to be very hard for them to actually meet these targets, and it's going to be an uphill battle for sure. But it's something that does need to be spoken about and does need to be tackled, because, I mean, climate change affects us all and we need to do something about it.
We certainly do. Duduo, thank you very much indeed for your time and your insights this morning. Duduo Nechitenzi is an economist at Stanlib. The 47th G7 summit scheduled to take place from tomorrow until the 13th of June in Cornwall in the United Kingdom, chaired, of course, by the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. That's Boris Johnson. What's going to please you? What's going to satisfy you for this to be a successful trip for President Cyril Ramaphosa? What does he need to return with, do you think, and saying, this is what I managed to achieve at that G7 summit? Remember, we are guests of the G7 summit. We've been invited alongside India, Australia and South Korea. And one has to give him kudos, right, for the fact that we have been invited already. But what will mark a successful outing, do you think, for the president as far as this G7 summit is concerned?